the study of God's word, it tells us in regard to the place of Jesus, but also it tells us in regard to Jesus' great plan. When Jesus, our Lord, talked to his disciples at Caesarea Philippi in Matthew 16, he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The idea that the church was going to come into existence and not be stopped and not be seized by something of the grave is for sure. And as a result of that, Jesus promised that he would build his church. In his church, there's a great strength that comes. The Lord did not intend for us to visit and be a part of services of the church so that it would tire us out, weary us out, be a job for us at all. To the contrary, Ephesians 3, beginning verse 20, "Unto God," or to Jesus, "who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, through the power that resteth within us, be glory unto him through the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." It is going to be the case that it is through the membership of the church and the activities of it that we gain a great strength and we give a great strength to others round about us. We can be people who serve the cause of God in a great and wonderful way. Back as far as Isaiah's words in Isaiah 40 and 31, he tells us, "They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will walk and not grow weary. They shall run and not faint." These people are individuals who find themselves following God's way, and as a result of that, they find a strength that comes from him. It's significant to note the meaning of that word, "wait upon the Lord," in Isaiah 40 and 31. It's the Hebrew word kave. It's the word that means to bind together by a twisting motion, like one would be making a rope by way of strands that would be twisted together and bound together, making a great strength through which people can walk across a great pass of some kind or carry an animal across a great pass by those ropes that are there intertwined, making the strength possible for them to get over to the other side of a river. So the idea is that we find ourselves waiting upon the Lord. We intertwine our lives with him. We intertwine ourselves with him. We gain the strength, not that we are strong at all, but weak because of the fact we're alone. But with him, we bind ourselves together with him. We renew our strength. The more and more that we wait upon him, binding upon him, we find ourselves getting stronger and stronger as a result of that. That's the intent that God had in mind in the New Testament of our Bible when the New Testament church went forth to teach the message of the gospel. And as in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 47, the Lord added daily to the saved, those that were being saved. He added daily to the church, those that were being saved. The fact of the matter is that it was getting stronger and stronger as they served. And as they served their fellow man, they went out to practice a pure religion. James talks about that in James 1, beginning verse 26, when he says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." The idea that we're to live people through in such a way that others will be honored to have us come by and visit them, come by and serve them, not take advantage of them. You know, we have a strange thing that happened in our land even today. If we find ourselves in a time of need, time of circumstance like that, we would be real concerned about somebody coming up to knock at our door if we didn't know that individual. We would seek out someone who does know that person, know their intentions, their motives. It might very well be that their intention is to come back and rob us when we're gone from that house. We don't trust it that much. We want to know about that individual. Wouldn't it be good for us to be known as people who avoid the world? By people who go out to serve others and we are free from the worldly ways of our lives. Thus, it is practicing a pure religion. It's one that is a pure religion because we visit, we care for the needs of others, fatherless and widows in their affliction. But we also keep ourselves unspotted from the present world. What if we get into sin and wrongdoing? And we're going to do that from day to day, of course. We find ourselves away from God's way. Well, in 1 John 1 and verse 9, these people are in fellowship with the Father and the Son, and they have a real gift, a real, very real privilege that you and I have as baptized believers into Christ. We find ourselves in that fellowship with the Father and the Son. And he tells us if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. On a day-to-day basis, I find myself confessing unto the Lord, asking him to acknowledge the things that I've failed to do that I should have done, the things that I've done that I should not have done. The idea of asking the Lord's pardon and forgiveness about this. He assures us that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Someone said, well, what if I get in the habit of just saying that? Well, if I get in the habit of saying that, I'm not from the heart, am I? And Jesus plainly said that we must have a willingness to forgive from the heart in Matthew 18:35. And so it is the case that we need to be people who are serious about what we're saying and doing. At the same time, when we're serious about it, we want to be people who get away from it. How are we going to do that? Well, we find ourselves growing in that faith of the Lord. We find ourselves involved with people in Bible classes and studies and discussions and prayers that are said. And as a result, we get stronger and stronger in resisting those trials and temptations that we may face. And Jesus, when he noted to the disciples the following in Matthew 26:41, he was telling them a world of worth as to how they were to live from day to day. He said, watch and pray that you enter not into what? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We find ourselves just working by ways of the flesh, by way of our own volition. We'll not be successful at it all. But if we're watchful and prayerful as we go through life, God is with us on our side. We're part of the things that we're doing, and we're able to overcome those temptations and trials that we would otherwise face, that would otherwise take us down. And so being people who remind one another of that in our Bible classes and in our discussion times and in our prayers one for another, we get stronger and stronger and more resilient in serving the cause of God. God intended for us to do it that way. That's the intent of the building of the Lord's church. And notice what Jesus said once again there in Matthew 16:18. For on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's going to be some resistance to his people, resistance to their way of life, resistance to their cause. But he said they'll not be successful. It'll not be successful to oppose this. It'll come about. It'll be there, and it'll be happening. Wonderful it is to be a part of the church of the Lord, even in this small place. We find ourselves inviting others all the time, going house to house to visit with individuals, talking with individuals who may have a background in the Bible, may not have a background in the Bible. But the idea is to help people. Eventually, oh yes, we believe we'll grow numerically as well as growing spiritually. But for sure, at this point in time in our development, we want to grow once again spiritually. We want every member to be just spiritually involved and a growth in the Lord. And that comes about by this lesson studied today, amongst others, about being people who are members of his church, growing in strength in him, intertwining our lives with him to get stronger and stronger as we wait upon him. That's the way that the Lord intended for us to do it. And we need to be people who practice it. So let this today be a day that is for you, perhaps a jump start. If you're not a weekly participant in the worship of God, activities like that in local church, let this be a jump start day. Let it be a time in which you say, well, once again, I'm doing that. I see that my Sunday mornings are involved here, and I can just as easily be involved next week and the week thereafter and so forth and so on. We all have times and occasions where we have to be out. Illnesses prevent us from being a part of a service. Illnesses prevent us from wanting to share that illness with others. We certainly don't want to spread it with other people in times of illness. But once again, we find ourselves blessed of God. For he does not expect us to do those things we cannot do or should not do. But the opportunity for us to return. We'll meet people who rejoice in the fact that we've overcome that illness, overcome that sickness, or once again out and about with us. We've used a day like today to jumpstart our whole life of being a spiritual person. More than that, we find ourselves being a good example. There are people who watch. There are people who see. There are people who pay attention. Not only the cars that are parked on a parking lot, but the lifestyle example of an individual. And as a result, Paul wrote to Timothy the following about this, about six areas of life which I close today this lesson study. All these six areas of life you and I know very, very well. He said, 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, be thou an example to the believer. Be an example, yes. Provide for them a way of life by which they want to practice that same way. In your words or choice of conversation, in your words, in your spirit, in your zeal for life, in your zeal to serve God, in your zeal to know the Lord and to have a hope for the soul, in your word, your spirit, your faith, the way that you believe, the way that you practice a way of life, your purity of life, the way that you're pure in life, thinking about the right things of God, the right ways of God, repenting of those errors of life that lead us into impurity. Yes, we're to be people who in word, in conversation, in manner of life, find ourselves in behavior being the people of God, in spirit, in faith, and in purity, finding ourselves growing in a zealous way in the right ways of God. When you look at your life and you look in the mirror and you say, well, am I the person of faith? Am I a person pure in my conduct of life? Am I a person who, in my words of choice, I'm a person of goodness and help? Am I a person in behavior that is a person of righteousness and faith? And if I look in the mirror and say, no, I'm not that person at all. I'm not that individual in my practice at all. Well, why not use today as a jumpstart day to begin that way of life? Who says we have to remain where we were and remain what we were doing? Today, there's an article in the bulletin for you from 1983 about North Carolina State Wolfpack and their basketball that they played that particular year. When they got down to the end of it, going into the tournament time in the Atlantic Coast Conference, a well-known basketball conference in that day and time for sure, more football today, but it's still there in the basketball. There was a story told in regard to Jim Valvano, who was coach of that ball team, and he found himself telling people to believe and don't quit, believe and don't quit. And they were 10 games out of first place when they went into the AC tournament. But they won that tournament. They won every game of that tournament. Close games as they were, they won every game of it. They went on to the regionals, and they won there. They went on to the national championship game in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and they won there. Oh, yes. A lot of things were involved, but the words believe and don't quit were certainly such a part of that team's meaning and words from their coach. And you've all seen it on television. You've seen it during this time of the year. There'll be Coach Jim Valvano gets off the beach and he runs over and he's looking for somebody to high five all the way across the court. And of course, he was looking for one particular player, and that one player did come to see him later on. Little did Coach Valvano know at that particular point in time that within 3 years of time, he would suffer major cancer. He would set up a foundation for research. Over $100 million has been donated to that foundation. The study of resistance of cancer. Believe, don't quit, is the idea. Whether it's an activity like in that sport and that particular tournament, or whether it's the study of God's Word and the teaching of the Lord's will, what did Paul tell Timothy to do? Be an example to the believer. When do you stop doing that, Timothy? You don't stop doing that. You go forth in your words. You go forth in your faith. You go forth in your purity. You live this way of life as an example that others would want to follow, that way of life. An honorable name you'll have, a faithful way of life you'll serve, and the opportunity to do all the good that you can do in the world in which you live is yours.